Wow. I feel like I've been in a full meeting already. This is phenomenal. Thank you so much for your beautiful chair, Kate. And thank you, Robert, also, for opening up and all the positivity and the excitement that I hear in you guys' voices is just awesome. Okay. And I'm going to just say this before I start. If no one's told anyone on this meeting that they're loved, I'm going to say, I love you. Okay. And newcomers, you are the most important person in this meeting. Thank you for being here. My name is Diane. I'm a grateful and blessed alcoholic. Okay. My sobriety date, September 22nd, 1991. My home group is the South Ozone Park Group in Queens. And first and foremost, I'd like to thank God and I'd like to thank the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and the fellowship for my gift of sobriety. As I say, welcome newcomers, anyone just coming back, and congratulations to anyone celebrating. And the most important thing for me on this day is that my higher power, who I choose to call God, woke me up. I'm on that wake up list one more day so I can continue to be of maximum service to whoever comes into my path. And all of you are in my path today. And I do hope that I can help one of you today because you are helping me to stay sober. As I said, my home group is the South Ozone Park Group in Queens. We meet on Sundays at 6:30 p.m., great beginners meeting. We do anniversary celebrations the last Sunday of the month, and we meet on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. That's Eastern time, and we have varied format meetings, step meetings, big book meetings, tradition meetings, closed discussion, candlelight meetings. So please, I'll put the information in the chat when it's time. Please come and visit. We love company. Okay, so let me give you a little bit about my drinking career. And I have to say it was a drinking career. All right. I come from a close-knit Southern family, grew up with both parents present, a lot of love in the household. There was craziness from time to time and all, okay, but a lot of love. Myself and my siblings, we all went to Catholic school. So, it was like, uniforms, fish on Friday, church on Sunday. That's how we were brought up. Growing up, I remember your birthday was always a special occasion in my household. You always had, like, say, your favorite cake, your special meal, and all the relatives would come over. I have a lot of aunties and uncles and cousins. They would all come over. I come from a heavy duty party family, And the thing about it, growing up, when these relatives would come in, they'd come in one condition. And once they got that alcohol under their belt, they were entirely different. Now, I'm not talking about all this fussing and cussing going on. They were just feeling good, okay? And so as a child, young and stuff like that, I observed a lot. I was a good student in school, an A student, love learning. Even to this day, I love learning. I'm an avid reader and stuff like that. And I picked up my first drink at age 12. By sipping out of the leftover glasses, okay? Because I wanted to see what was in those glasses that they were drinking. I think I just got a little buzz, went to sleep, but little did I know that was the beginning of the progression of my disease of alcoholism. And from that point on, okay, until I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, September 22nd, 1991, emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, I was completely bankrupt. Okay. I used to wake up to a drink and black out. I became a blackout drinker, blacking out, coming to wondering, where am I? Who are you? What I said, not remembering anything, feeling that embarrassment, that shame and remorse, and saying, I'm never going to do it again. Okay. And it says, like, say, in our step one, alcohol is a rapacious creditor. It robbed me of so many missed opportunities and all. And I'll tell you something, it just got me to the point where, financially, my life became just so totally unmanageable. Because when I came in on that first step, that third tradition, the powerlessness, the unmanageability. And that third tradition, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. So, it was like, the waking up, drinking, blacking out. It was a cycle, a continuous cycle. I tried to stop on my own, but I could never stay stopped. And where I lived, out here in Queens, New York, where I lived, it seemed like, there was a liquor store on every other corner, and every one of them knew me on a first name basis. They used to start bagging before I got to the door. That's how often I was visiting those liquor stores. Okay. I could never like go into the liquor store, and just bring the bottle home. Before I even like put my key in the door to go into my house, I was popping that cork. So what had happened is that, due to my disease of alcoholism, okay, family, stopped inviting me places. My family used to invite me 2 weeks after the event occurred, and then they said, "Did anyone invite Diane?" Because I was like a Dr. Jekyll and Miss Hyde. You didn't know who was coming through the doors. Either I was the life of the party or the conflict maker. And it just got to that point. So my disease of alcoholism brought me to the point where I was living in my house, okay, shades drawn down, blinds closed. As I told you, invitations had ceased at that point. Mail piled up on the kitchen table. I had pulled out my telephone wire because I didn't want anyone to interfere with me getting high. And I proceeded to stay in the bedroom of my house and drink myself to death. Okay, I'm giving you a short version of my qualification because there's just so much to my story, but I want to address it for the newcomers especially, alcohol became my master, as it says in Bill's story. I could not differentiate the truth from the false. You know what I'm saying? I went through all of that mental torture, and I didn't have that courage to do the battle on my own. I just couldn't do it, when I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, okay, there was still those doubts in my mind, all right? But you know what? I know my higher power, okay, intercepted my death, all right, when I was guided to those rooms. And coming into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, out in Queens, we used to have all of our meetings, like, say, in church basements. And my home group, I remember that night going to my home group. I went down those stairs. Somebody greeted me at the door and they said, "Welcome, you're in the right place." And I said, "Welcome." I thought somebody squealed on me. I didn't know that's what they did to the newcomer. As I told you, you know what I'm saying? I was like, emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, completely bankrupt. And my beloved grand sponsor, who is deceased now, Gene Harris, used to always say, "You are in critical condition." And when I came into those rooms, okay, somebody greeted me, as I said, I got into the rooms. And back then in 1991, it used to be smoking meetings. So go figure. One side of the room was smoking, the other side, no smoke. The whole place was full of smoke, but they were talking about the message of hope and recovery. They had the shades up, the 12-step shades. They had the 12 traditions shades up. They didn't have the concept shades up back then when I came in, but we do have it now because, as you know, there's 36 principles, 12 steps, 12 traditions, 12 concepts. What they did for me when I came in, they assigned me a sponsor because I had no clue what a sponsor was. And as we know, a sponsor is another person in recovery who can guide you through the program of action. Okay? They gave me that unconditional love. They said, "We will love you until you're able to love yourself." They did not lie to me, okay? And I came in, I didn't want to talk to anybody, but what they did was that they gave me a service position, and for the newcomers here, it's very important, to have a service position in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. They assigned me a sponsor, okay? They gave me a copy of the big book, Living Sober, Came to Believe, and a meeting list. Okay, and they gave me a service position. All right, they gave me the position of greeter, standing at the door with my hand extended. I didn't want to greet anybody, okay? But once the person extended their hand, I extended mine. And I got a little bit out of that, self-consciousness, and not wanting to have anyone know anything about myself. And then before you know it, the days became weeks, weeks became months. Months became years. All right. It was hard in the beginning because that drink, the thought of a drink was always there, but they kept it plain, basic, and simple in my home group. They said, if you don't pick up that first drink, you cannot get drunk. They said, stay grateful. Grateful alcoholics do not drink. Okay. They gave me that unconditional love. They said, we'll love you until you're able to love yourself. God bless the old timers who were here before me, and they really like carried me during the early stage of my sobriety. On my 90th day in my home group, they love to like, sandbag you. I didn't even know I was going to speak. I thought I was just going to come up in the front of the room, get my 90-day coin, and then they said, and the speaker is Diane. Okay. And they love doing that. And from that point on, up until where I am right now, I always like to say I'm sitting in the solution, and the solution is in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay. Every day that I do not pick up a drink or any other mood altering substance, it's a magnificent day. Okay. And today I want to like tell you, I do have a sponsor. My sponsor is like 46 years in this program. She has a sponsor. I have a home group. Okay. I have a wonderful, wonderful network of recovery friends. All right. I do service. Okay. I stay in the prayer and meditation, always, in the beginning, thanking my God for this gift of sobriety, reading my literature, that I have, doing service and keeping that hand extended for the newcomers. Okay. I always like to say, I always am a newcomer because I can always learn from anyone in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. Each one teaches one. I can learn from those who came before me, and I can learn from you newcomers who are coming into the rooms because you're telling me it's not getting any better out there. Okay? Through the course of my journey in Alcoholics Anonymous, my family came back into my life. I have a wonderful husband in my life, and he supports me 110%, I have five beautiful grandchildren, and none of them have seen me drunk or under any type of mood altering substance. I'm in their life and I just love them, And I show up for life today instead of retreating because I used to retreat all the time. I used to like to drink by myself. All right. I wasn't like a bar drinker because I always felt I never got enough alcohol because they always watered down the drinks. I used to like to go to that liquor store, you know what I'm saying, and get my bottle and drink by myself and then put the music on, play the music all over the place, play those sad songs, fantasize, tripping out like I'm fantasizing and tripping out all over the place. I'm telling you, I went through a whole process to get high. Okay, but today, I'm in that process to stay sober. I look in the mirror today and I say, I love you to myself because I'm worth it today. I'm worth all of the blessings, and the beautiful things that this life has to offer. I stay humble, I keep that humility in my life, thinking less of myself and thinking more of others. I stay teachable because I can always learn in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I stay in the solution, and the solution is right here. So, as I said, anyone that's newer than myself, the program does work, but I cannot work your program. I didn't come in here to work anyone else's program except my own. You have to come in here so you can experience the miracles and the blessings that the program affords you. You know, because I came in that selfishness, that self-centeredness, you know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, the character defects. I was a liar, a cheat, and a thief. I'm not that way today. You know, I have a conscience today. I have a positive conscience today, you know. And when I say things, you know, that are not correct, when I get angry, of course it does happen, you know, I'm living life on life's terms. I put those steps into my life. I continue to take that personal inventory on a daily basis. You know what I'm saying? And if those resentments come in, because as we know, those resentments are the number one offender. Okay. You know, I don't let those resentments harbor in my head because then they can go and create a whole new scenario about different things. You know, I speak up, I talk about what's going on, good, bad, indifferent, you know, and I always have a listening ear with my sponsor and my network, you know, and the program is just incredible. So, as I said, anyone newer than myself, please, please stick and stay. This program does work, you know. Get yourself a sponsor and don't just get a sponsor because people say, get a sponsor. You know, they say if you don't, if you're sponsoring yourself, you got a fool for a sponsor. All right. Get yourself someone who's grounded in the program. 12 steps, 12 traditions, those 12 concepts, you know, who is very, very active as far as service is concerned, you know, who stays in that literature. Okay, because that's how they're going to teach you know, and guide you through the program of action. Who does service, you know, and who makes meetings? We used to say meeting makers make it. Okay, you know, I still make a number of meetings, you know, during the course of the week. Sometimes on the weekends, I could be at two, three meetings for the weekend because there's anniversary celebrations at the end of the month, you know. So I stay in this program, you know, and I can go all over the world right now. You know, when I came around, we didn't have the luxury, you know, of these Zoom meetings. You know, it was in-person meetings all the time. So I went to a lot of meetings. Now I can be all over the world. You know what I'm saying? And you know, AA is the language of the heart, you know, and it says it doesn't matter, you know, whether it's in person or modem to modem, we're carrying the message of hope and recovery, you know, and this is something that we pass on to all of those who are still sick and suffering. So, you know, I just want to like wrap it up, okay? Because I just want to say, stay grateful. Grateful alcoholics don't drink, you know, stay teachable, you know, get that humility into your life, stay in this program, okay? The program does work. Okay, I've gotten, as I said, so many gifts and so many blessings, you know, through the course of my sobriety. I've spoken at so many different meetings, you know, and workshops and seminars. You know, I'm always asked to, like, you know, do service. And I don't say no to AA because AA did not say no to me. You know, I've spoken at, you know, we have something that's annual every single year called the Bill W. Dinner Dance. I've spoken there, you know, in front of 2,600 people. You know, I've done like service. You know, I was my intergroup rep. I've done all the positions on the group level. I've done positions on our county level, you know, on our Southeast New York level, you know, handling hospitality when we have our annual CINE convention once a year. So, you know, I mean, no job is too small. You know, share a days we have, you know, share-a-thons we have at the end of the year. I love doing service, you know, because I cannot keep it unless I give it away. So, as I said, you know, anyone newer than myself, the program does work. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to just read something very, very short, okay, because I still have a couple of minutes and I can get it in a couple of minutes. And it's about appreciating ourselves. And this is from The Language of Letting Go, okay, March 24th. Okay, it is time to stop this nonsense of running around picking on ourselves. We may have walked through much of our life apologizing for ourselves, either directly or indirectly, feeling less valuable than others, believing that they know better than we do, and believing that somehow others are meant to be here and we are not. We have a right to be here. We have a right to be ourselves. We are here. There is a purpose, a reason, and an intention for our life. We do not have to apologize for being here or being who we are. We are good enough and deserving. Others do not have our magic. We have our magic. It is in us. It doesn't matter what we've done in our past. We all have a past woven with mistakes, woven with mistakes. Okay, let me turn this off. Woven with mistakes, successes, and learning experiences. We have a right to our past. It is ours. It has worked to shape and form us. As we progress on this journey, we shall see how each of our experiences will be turned around and used for good. We have already spent too much time, I'm gonna wrap it up, being ashamed, being apologetic, and doubting the beauty of ourselves. Be done with it. Let it go. It is an unnecessary burden. Others have rights, but so do we. We are neither less than nor more than. We are equal. We are who we are. That is who we were created and intended to be. And that, my friend, is a wonderful gift. And I want to thank you for allowing me to share. Love you all. Peace and blessings.